Stand by, Jerry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM, AM, and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, we're going to talk about guns, firearms. And joining us in studio is a gentleman by the name of Rick Reitz. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay there. Where are you from? You're a local man here, right?
I'm a local guy. I'm from the Salem-Kaiser area. I live in Kaiser, yes.
And you shoot firearms.
I do. Not so good, but I shoot them.
Well, join the crowd.
Okay.
How did you get started?
My mom always said that she thought I was born with one in my hand.
Okay.
Because of my dad. I've been around firearms most of my life. In the last 25 years, I've started training, do a lot of competition. Competition shooting is kind of how I got into that.
What is competition shooting?
Well, it's USPSA, which is United States Pistol Shooting Association, IDPA, International Defense.
Is that fast draw?
Yeah, it's move and shoot. More of tactical shooting.
Okay.
More of shooting that I believe is good training for self-defense, concealed carry type training.
Are you good?
I hit side of a barn once.
Okay. So
I'm all right.
You're doing better than I am then, because I missed that barn.
There you go.
You teach these classes?
I do. I do. I'm a certified NRA firearms instructor. I'm a certified NRA range officer, certified Glock armor. Glock instructor also. I teach classes at the Four Corners Rod and Gun Club here in Salem. Do a lot of three-gun matches. We do the three-gun matches out there, the pistol matches. We have a special class for ladies. We call it our ladies only. That's the third Wednesday of the month. If you're not a member, that's all right. Come on out and join us. And it's ladies only.
What is the three-gun match? What is that?
Well, you compete with three guns. You compete with a pistol, a rifle, generally an AR-15 type rifle, and a shotgun. And it could be a pump shotgun.
Not at the same time. You're not walking around with all this hanging on you, are you?
Boy, you ought to see them.
Get out of here!
No.
Seriously?
Depends on the match. Generally, it's one gun at a time.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll work with a pistol on your side and one of the long guns, shotgun or the AR. Depends on the stage.
All right. So you're shooting at a target? How far away is the target?
Well, it depends on if it's pistol, I try to keep, a regular three-gun match, three-gun nation rules would be, if it's with a pistol, anywhere from point blank, clear up to about 15, no more than 25 yards. shooting.
That's quite a distance, 25 yards, isn't it, for a handgun?
Very seldom will we have it 25 yards. Generally, it's 10-yard shooting, 10 to 15, no more. With a pistol, rifle, it depends on where you're at. There's quite a few places in the Oregon area that have gun ranges we use. The one in here in Salem, I only have access to a 50-yard facility for rifles, so part of that is all self-defense shooting with an AR up to 50 yards. It could be at 3 yards, clear out to 50 yards. It's more of a self-defense type with your AR-15 or your long rifle. Shotgun, that could be point blank. We even use a door that we teach people, which you probably wouldn't use in a self-defense situation as a civilian, breaching a door. You breach the door, you go through, you shoot behind barriers. You shoot behind barriers. You're always shooting and moving. It's a great way to learn some shoot and move techniques.
All right, if I'm shooting my pistol, what type of pistol do I have? You said a Glock, but can you shoot like a revolver too as well? Or?
Yeah, we have guys come out with revolvers. Generally not
people
a lot of them.
People still use them?
They do, and it's coming back.
Is it?
I'm seeing a lot of people, especially since they're changing a lot of the calibers. There's now very popular the revolvers, the 9mm. Some of them hold another round or two, which are great.
First gun I ever shot was a .357 Smith & Wesson. It was called the Highway Patrolman issue.
Yeah.
And it shot out a flame about 9 feet long, you know, and that thing. And I was like 15 years old, didn't realize just how far that kick was going to throw.
Yeah.
I only shot it one time. I said, no more.
Dirty Harry.
Pretty much.
He lit his cigar with that flame, too.
That's right. Revolvers are making a comeback, then.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot. I'm seeing a lot of revolvers. I see at the clubs revolvers. Not necessarily in competition matches, because they're a little bit harder to reload. Take a little bit of time to reload them, and your competition time is big. So, yeah, but for self-defense, seeing a lot of people with revolvers again.
In this three-gun match, you're not only going against accuracy, but you're also fighting the clock?
You are fighting the clock. You're fighting the clock. You're fighting your stress, and I think that's real
Why
big.
Are you under stress?
Well, you have people watching you. You're timed. Your heart rate does go up.
Really?
Yeah, big time. And learning to control and shoot under pressure is, in my opinion, that's huge. That's big.
Okay, but this is not like a simulated one where you're watching a video then.
Nope.
This is actually, you're out there on the range and doing your thing.
You are.
Now, how many people are performing or shooting or competing, I should say, at one time?
One person at a time. Generally, we will have anywhere from 4 to 6 stages, different stages. One person at a time will shoot that stage until they're done. You have range safety officers that instruct you through the whole thing to make sure that it stays safe. Generally, semi-automatic pistols are the best. You need at least 3 to 4 magazines, depending on how many rounds your magazines hold. Generally, it's a shoot as fast as you can, but be able to hit a target.
Hit what you're shooting.
Yeah.
You said a minute ago that revolvers are making a comeback. Is the reason they're making a comeback because they're a little bit more reliable? They don't jam like a Glock?
Semi-automatic.
Is that the reason they're making a comeback?
You know, they are, in my opinion, they are more dependable. With the new modern pistols out there, semi-automatics, I use Glock. I carry a Glock. I think it's just as reliable. But again, anything that's mechanical can fail.
Sure.
I see more female shooters carrying the revolver because they are a lot easier to train on. So I see a lot of the females carrying concealed weapon, their revolvers, especially, you know, they carry it in their purse or in a backpack. It's easy to do that. I could teach somebody a little bit easier to shoot a revolver than I can a semi-automatic
pistol.
Why
is that? Just because it's
just
easier.
Not as many. There's no safeties. It's pretty much a point and shoot. A lot of the small revolvers are not meant for accuracy, so it's more of a point and shoot type weapon, and that's the reason.
my wife is a small girl. She's a little petite thing, and the guns, we've got guns in our home. They terrify her. How do you, if a gal walks in and says, hey, I would like to buy a gun, how do you fit them to the right gun? It's something that's just not too big for them, something they're comfortable with.
Right. That's a very good question. And, you know, when I do this concealed weapon classes, I do get, once in a while, I get a husband that shows up with a wife. I will ask them what type of gun that everybody shoots before the class. What are you going to be carrying? And a lot of times I will get a husband that'll say, well, she's going to carry a 45 Smith & Wesson 1911. And that's not the way you choose a gun. You want a gun to fit your hand. Your hand has to go around it. Your finger, your trigger finger needs to be able to go in the trigger guard, and your thumb needs to be able to go around it. You need to get high on the slide. Your second hand needs to be able to wrap around the frame of the gun. And then after that, if that looks good, and a lot of times there's a lot of semi-automatics that are making different type of back straps, so they can fit a lot of different hand types. Then after that, you need to go out to the range and you need to shoot. And just by watching somebody or even looking at their target after they shoot, you can tell whether or not they can handle that caliber. 45 caliber, 45 ACP is going to be harder to shoot than a 9mm. So that's generally what I look at. But on some occasions, there are some pocket pistols that could be in a 380, 25 caliber, 9mm. Because of their being lightweight, harder to hold on to. Sometimes those are harder to control than a Glock 19 or a Glock 17.
That's so how a little accurate, bit bigger. That little 25, how accurate is that? I mean, you pull that out in self-defense, you're probably just going to irritate somebody with it.
Not necessarily,
Is it
Terry.
Pretty accurate?
Up to, you know, again, those pistols that are like what they call pocket pistols are meant for point-blank range out to maybe our distance right now. What are we, about 3 feet? Four feet away. That's what that's meant for. It's not a target shooting pistol. And a lot of people will mistake a gun like that, a pistol like that, for a target pistol. And they'll take it out and they want to sell it as soon as they, I see people, I've literally had a gentleman come out, shot a pocket pistol, didn't do very well at 10 yards we were shooting at, and he wanted to sell the pistol. I looked at him and I said, well, that pistol is not made for this distance. You don't really have a back sight on that. It's just a front sight. This is a totally self-defense, up-close type pistol. But he ended up selling it anyhow. So you just have to learn the difference between those two.
All right. With our final 2 minutes in this segment here, when you shoot a pistol, a handgun, I noticed that you said that you had one hand on the gun and your other hand was like cupping it or something?
No.
Do you don't see people like Dirty Harry anymore that just with one hand shoots? Mm-hmm. You use both hands, correct?
Yes. And
why?
The importance, Terry, the importance of accuracy. And if you're going to use it in a self-defense, you own every bullet that comes out of there. You can't afford to miss. You can't afford to hit the neighbor's house. You can't afford to go through a wall and hit your son or daughter. You can't afford to have that. So every shot, it counts. With two hand grips, you're much more accurate. You're a lot steadier. Now, you had said the cupping of it. That's kind of an old school type, and some people with revolvers can shoot it that way because it's a little bit different grip than a semi-automatic with a revolver. I don't recommend that people do the palm grip. You're just not going to get as much accuracy out of your pistol.
You also mentioned ladies only. What is ladies only? Obviously, it's for ladies only, but tell me a little bit about that night.
We started that at the club. It's, I think, about 2 years ago. Our turnout is hit and miss, and I think it's because the club doesn't really advertise it. I talk about it a little bit. But what that is we get ladies only. Their husbands, their boyfriends, significant other, cannot come and watch. We want the ladies to feel comfortable. We want them in an environment where we can teach them to shoot with just the ladies talk, lady talk. It has worked very well. So yeah, that's it. And it's free to the public. It's actually $2 cost for targets, but basically free.
Do they need to supply their own weapon and ammunition, or do you guys supply that? Or
we can supply the weapon. We do have extra pistols, different types of pistol that simulate 9mm type pistols. You do have to supply your own ammunition. 22 rimfire. Some of the local stores around here carry that. 100 rounds is fine.
And when is that? Is that every week, or is it once a month?
It is the third Wednesday of each month.
Okay.
And if you look on the Four Corners Rod and Gun Club calendar, you will see it listed there, and you can get all the details.
All right. The name of your company is Lock It, Load It Firearms and Simulator Training. Where are you based out of?
I am based out of Kaiser.
Okay. And how can people get in touch with you if you wish to?
You can visit my website, and my website is lockitloadit.com, all lowercase. And you can visit my website or you can call me, 503-580-8086.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are Salem's original radio station, KSLM. Our guest today is Rick Reitz. Did I get it right?
You did,
get
Terry.
It? Did you catch that? Did I get it right, Rick Reitz?
There you go.
I'm telling you, nothing gets past me.
And as they used to say in school,
teachers
would always say Reitz, and I'd say two wrongs don't make a Reitz, but two Reitzes made a Rick.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
Mm-hmm. My real last name is
nobody laughed even then.
Saltalamacchia is my real last name, 13 letters long. They used to call me Alphabet in school, among other things. So when I got into radio, I thought, no, we're not going with that. But anyhow. And Rick is joining us. And also joining us here in the studio is one of our my coworkers here, Lowry Garman from KSLM. Good morning, Lowry. How are you?
Good morning, Terry.
Now, you're here because you shoot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How long have you been shooting?
Well, for most of my life, my father introduced me early on. Yes.
Did you get that? Did you catch that, Rick?
I love this guy.
Did you catch how he did that, Rick?
Well, I was thinking 19.
Okay. Well, see.
You guys are amazing.
I'm telling you, we know how to suck up, you know? All right. So you've been shooting all your life. How did you get started? You said your dad was a marshal?
Yes. He was a United States Marshal.
Where
in
at?
Las Vegas, Nevada. Back in the early days.
Back
when
in
it was
the days.
Kinda, there was lots of things to attend to, let me put it that way. But yes, he introduced me early on, as he did my brothers. We lived on a farm, so we had a large orchard, and so he had us patrol the orchard a lot to keep away the vermin. And so accuracy was important, and so he taught us about safety and how to use a gun and how to be accurate with it.
What is your specialty, a handgun or a shotgun, a rifle? What do you like?
Well, I've shot all of them, but I prefer a handgun.
And you're pretty good at it, aren't you?
Well, I'd like to think so, but probably not.
How often do you shoot?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why I said probably not, because even though I grew up shooting and had a lot of opportunity in my early life, I went through a long period of time where I didn't shoot at all.
Okay.
And then when I met my current husband, I became involved again in shooting, but it became an issue of, well, time and where to go and that sort of thing. And then when I met Rick and heard about what he has to offer, I was very excited to go over and hear more about it.
You first went in there and saw his facility, and then, what are some of the questions you asked Rick?
Well, first of all, I wanted to know how he got involved in this, and I was very excited to explore more about the simulated environment, because going out and finding some hillside you can shoot at is one thing. Going down to the gun club and practicing is another. But simulated shooting is a little bit different in that you can stop and you can be trained and you can also interact in a way that you cannot when you're just target practicing.
So have you taken some of his classes?
Well, actually, I have, and I'd like to take more.
Which classes have you taken from him?
Well, it was just the beginner involvement where Rick went over the basics of your stance and how you hold your gun and why it's important. And then what kind of motion when you go to shoot, where do you position the gun and where do you come from when you move it toward your extending toward your target.
Okay, let me stop. Rick, let me ask you a question. You have someone like Lowry who's walking to her car. It's dark. She's in a parking lot. Somebody approaches her. What's the first thing she needs to do? Does she scream? Does she immediately go for her weapon? What does she need to do?
I tell people that you're going for your weapon is the absolute last resort.
Okay.
Because once you pull that, your life is going to change. In a situation like that, everything's different.
You should only pull your weapon if you intend to use it, correct?
Absolutely, Terry.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry to mean to interrupt.
It depends on the circumstances. You know, if you walk outside the mall, you should look at your environment. Do you see any bad guys around? Anybody that looks like maybe they're a bad guy or they're just kind of waiting? And if you don't feel good about that, a gut feeling, turn around and walk back in the mall. Call police. Walk back in. Call security. See if they'll walk you to your... That's what I would have done in a situation like that. You're out in the car. Somebody approaches you. You know, hopefully you're kind of aware that they're coming towards you. You know, you try to want to get distance. Your car between that person or a sign between that person. If they come up and start, say they're going to rob you. Your pistol could be on your side. It could be in your purse. You need to take a look at what's going on. Does he have a weapon in front of you? Does he have a knife in front of you? You may not be able to get to your weapon.
Should she be vocal at all? Should she be screaming or yelling, get back or anything at all? Draw attention?
It all depends. Are there other people in the area? By screaming, is he going to hurt you? Mm-hmm. Is he going to stab you if he has a knife? I try to teach people that in a situation like that, distance is your friend. There's a lot of different things. And I think I was telling you this in the class. If you have a cup of coffee in your hand, you're walking out to your car. Take the lid off the cup of coffee you're drinking, a Starbucks coffee. You have somebody come up and approach you. You need to get that distance or you need to get something to distract him so you can run. Mm-hmm. Coffee is a great thing to throw in somebody's face. It can burn them quite a bit. It's going to take them a few seconds to get their bearings. Mm-hmm. You could be gone. If you can't do that, you know, I carry, I don't know what you'd call this, a climbing...
some type of hook.
Hook thing that I put my keys on. Well, when I traveled quite a bit, my last job, I couldn't carry down in the California area, so I carried that. It's a legal pair of brass knuckles. It gives me just a few seconds to strike and to run. Mm. And when I say run, maybe that's to get back behind your car, to get your weapon out, to defend yourself. You know, I have statistics right here that show, and I thought it was kind of interesting, about 67,740 times a year a crime is stopped just by a presentation of a firearm. That's quite a few. A lot of times, just presenting your firearm at a distance, and if you're up close, he may feel that he can get to your weapon in time, but get distance could prevent something. But be prepared to do what you need to do.
My wife carries her keys with our last 30 seconds here, and on her key, she has her finger by the horn button, the panic button.
Perfect.
And she works at night, and so I told her, if you need to, lay on that. Get that horn honking.
That's right.
Sooner or later, it's going to get someone's attention.
Absolutely.
So we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest. And Laura, you're going to have your better half join us, correct?
Yes, he's
all right.
Here.
We'll be back. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Coming back in just a moment.
Check it out, Terry Saul and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Tag team partners for life. Nobody can beat us.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we are talking with Rick Reitz. I got it right. I'm gonna keep doing that. Also, Lowry Garman, who is one of our associates here at KSLM. And joining us is your husband. You introduce him.
Well, this is Mr. Bob Walker, and he works here at KSLM also.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Terry. Nice to be with you. Thank you.
I like your voice. You've got such a deep voice, you know. You just make me sound like I'm a little kid, you know.
You're embarrassing me, man.
Well, good. Good. Bob, how long have you been shooting? You're into firearms. How long have you been shooting?
You know, I began shooting as a teenager. My father was involved in the military. I had a lot of exposure to firearms as a result. I enjoyed it. looking back on it, I think it was a way of finding value within myself insofar as I was a fat kid when I was a youngster. I was left eye dominant and didn't know it, but a right-handed person, so I was the last to be chosen for any hand-eye coordination thing. So shooting, fishing, those kinds of things allowed me to achieve some sense of value within myself. It was a simple question. I'm giving a compound answer. I apologize for that.
Larry, on our last segment, you were talking about, we started to talk a little bit about confidence. Why is confidence so important?
Terry, if you think about it, you know, anyone who holds a firearm of any sort in their hands, it needs to be treated with proper respect. I think men, they're very confident in how they handle things, especially, you know, firearms. Women, maybe not so much. I know confidence is very important if you're ever faced with a situation where you have to react and you have to know what to do. And I think familiarity is the only thing that's going to really bring you that confidence. And this is where the interactive shooting scenario is so important, because it's a very valuable part of the training to provide that familiarity to help you have that confidence without, you know, actually having to have somebody on the other side of you. So in the interactive part, you get to see it in front of you as though it's actually happening to you. And then you get to choose when and how to react. And sometimes you might react right, and sometimes you might react wrong. But with Rick, he can correct you. He can help you to see what you need to look for. What are the clues that tell you when something's about to happen that you might not otherwise be aware of?
Sure. Rick, have you had people come in, and again, I don't want to just pick on females, but there are males too that are probably intimidated when they walk in there and have to hold a gun for the first time or something. Have you had these people come in, and then by the time they're done with your training over the course of however long it takes, they're a little bit more comfortable? What Lowry's saying, confidence is a lot.
It's everything. It's really a big part of carrying concealed, and just even in competition. You have to know how to use your weapon. You have to be confident that what you're aiming at, you're going to hit. You have to be confident in your ability to make a decision that you may take somebody's life. On the other hand, that you're going to save somebody's life by doing that. You have to know the rules. You have to know the laws. It's absolutely imperative that you know how to use your weapon. Look, guys, there's a lot of people out there that are listening to this program that are carrying a concealed weapon. That's great. But get the training. You know, the threat scenario training, the scenarios that I carry, the simulator training, practical shooting, there's a lot of different avenues that you can go. That's why I got into this. It's really, really made me a lot better shooter. I can work on skills that I'm not so good at and get better at. It puts you through threat scenarios that the only way you're going to get this is reality. There is no other way. It's great. The FBI has gone through it. And I had a statistic I got from the American Shooting Journal here. And it basically said, numerous reports all show shooting incidents occurred at close range within 10 feet. Mm-hmm. This is the FBI shootings. And 65% of those agents missed their target at 10 feet. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason is that is you have to know how not only to shoot a target standing at 25 yards, you have to know how to move and shoot. Doesn't mean you're crawling in dirt and shooting under barrels. You have to learn to control your anxiety. You have to learn to shoot and move. The simulator gives you that. It gives you a lot of rounds downrange, a lot of different thousands. I have over 2,000 different types of shooting scenarios. And the threat scenario is real life situations where you're actually going to have to talk to the bad guy that's in your home. You're going to have to make a decision. What do I do? When do I shoot? Do I not shoot? You know, I see a lot of people, you do get your heart rate up. And that's what the goal is to see how you shoot under a stretch situation.
I had Sheriff Jason Myers on our show a while back, and he had said that if a person is maybe 20 feet from you and they're coming at you, it's just a second before they get to you. You have to decide in a split second if there's somebody in your house coming down the hall. You don't have a lot of time to think about it. They have time to think about it because they know what they're doing. You don't.
Absolutely, you don't. And that's where your training hopefully will kick in. We're not training like military. We're not training like law enforcement. Most people don't have the time to do that. You know, if you dedicate, there are, you know, I have an affordable way to train that nobody else in the Salem area has. If not, you know,
is that through the simulator?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we'll talk about that here in just a second. Okay. Here,
I tell people to also dry fire. You know, go out in the garage, in the house, dry fire your pistol. That's important.
What
that
does
is
that
training.
Mean? What does dry fire mean?
Making sure that, well, first of all, make sure you have no ammunition near your gun.
Okay.
You rack the gun. You point it at a target. You maybe come out of the bedroom. You have a plan, an action plan, how I'm going to clear the house or how I'm going to enter from the, or I'm going to leave the bedroom to the living room if there's an intruder. And you can practice. You can pull the trigger. You most semi-automatic pistols, you have to rack the gun each time, to slide each time.
But you don't want to actually practice with a spouse. You don't want to do, we're not telling people, have your wife come through the door and you practice at her.
No, you're right.
You don't want to have somebody do that.
No.
Okay.
No, that's a safety issue. Point to fire.
Bob, you've gone through the simulated training before, haven't you?
I have.
Okay, tell me about it. What did you learn from that? What did you take away with our last 4 minutes here?
Shooting at paper targets on a range is one thing. Being in the situation where on a screen where everything is life size and you're involved in a scenario, the warehouse guy standing there, he's working on what he does in the warehouse, has a gun exposed. The manager comes in to let him know that they are going to fire him, have to let you go. He gets belligerent. He shoves the guy. The guy reacts. You're standing watching this whole thing. Next thing you know, the guy in the warehouse has got the gun, pulls it, and fires. If you haven't responded in time in the simulated scenario, you're gone. So it is as close to reality as you can get without being involved in a situation with another person.
So you're in a room. You're in a room.
Yep.
And there's a large screen in
you
front of
it,
you.
Yep.
And you're watching a video of
and
this.
And you're part of it.
And you're holding some type of a special
you're
weapon.
Holding
yep.
a Glock 17.
Okay.
A Glock, actual Glock 17s.
Okay.
9mm.
You're just supposed to react to whatever you're watching on this video.
Sure, but you're placing yourself in a situation, you know, or as much as you can simulate a real-life situation. What would you do and when do you do it? The other aspect of the training, which I found was telling, is where you have 12 targets, I think, and a clock is running, and you have an opportunity to take those targets out one after another. If you miss, in fact, you don't want to go skipping from row to row, but you take targets in line. So it's just management. It's all about management under stress, where you know the clock is running and maybe your spouse is there. Was in this case. She outshot me, incidentally.
That's not good.
No, it's all right
that's
by me.
Not good.
It's okay by me.
You will mow the lawn when she tells you
you've
to.
You've got
that's
that going
good.
On.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's very valuable training, and I think it almost, I believe it should be, if you've got a carry permit, you should have an opportunity to also certify that you've been through training to the point where you have some realistic ideas of what can happen, what should happen, and absolutely what should not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Last resort, pull the pistol.
Rick, with our last minute and a half or so here on this particular segment there, you also teach classes for carrying a concealed weapon, correct?
Yes, I do the Oregon concealed weapon class, and I add shooting.
Okay.
Into this shooting training. We add the threat scenario into it. It's a 3 to 4 hour class, depending on how many students and how
class,
many.
That's a long class, isn't it?
It is, but it's a class that I feel is absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Please, folks, don't take the class online. It takes 45 minutes that you don't learn anything. It's too important to not take a real class.
You said something earlier, Rick, before we went on the air, and you said once you take your gun out and you fire your gun, your life has changed.
Your life will change. And Terry, doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to fire that gun. Once you pull that gun out in public and point it at somebody, there's going to be laws that are broken and there's going to be things that you're going to have to do.
So you need to know, and by taking the class, you need to know what your rights are, what you can and can't do. Something's going to happen one
absolutely.
Way or another.
And without a threat scenario training, how are you going to know that? Are you just going to guess? You're going to read it in a magazine?
Exactly. We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment here on KSLM.
Oh, you got the Wolfman here, and you're listening to Terry Saul. Give it to him, Terry.
Hey, it's Terry Saul, Saltissimo. If you would like for us to come and do a live broadcast from your place of business, or if you just like chatting with us, if you think you have an interesting story that you'd love to tell, I'd love to hear from you. And it's real easy to do. You can drop me a line at terry@ksLM.news. That's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, @ksLM.news. And I will get back with you. And who knows, you might just be on the Terry Saul Show. I love chatting with people, hearing your story. stories, you tell it, we'll listen. Again, send me a line at terry@kslm.news. And like always, thanks for listening to The Terry Saul Show right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are Salem's original radio station, KSLM.
This is Donnie, and I gotta say, Terry Saul is the coolest guy I have ever met. Really, he's not the coolest guy in the world. He just told me to say that.
We are back with our final segments today. We are talking with Rick Reitz, who owns, I guess it's called Lock It, Load It Firearms and Simulated Training, correct? Did I get it all right?
You got it.
All right. From KSLM, Bob and Lowry are also joining us there. And you were talking a little bit, Lowry, off the air there about accuracy, how important that is.
Well, I think it's very important because when you find yourself in a threat scenario, you cannot even imagine the impact that the hormones that are going to have,
sure.
You know, all that fight or flight stuff from your adrenals coming into your system and accuracy. You might think, well, I'm pointing the gun straight at him. I'll hit him. And maybe you won't because you're shaking. You can't.
Could be the middle of the night. It's dark. It could be
exactly,
anything.
Exactly, Terry. And I think that accuracy is so important. And that confidence helps you with that. But knowing all the other things that go with that, how you hold the gun, what is your position, what is your stance, I think that really adds a lot to the accuracy.
Now, Rick, you take your class. You get your, they do a background check on you. You go down and get fingerprinted. The sheriff signs off on it. And then you get your little card in the mail. Okay.
Right.
Now you're walking around with this card in your pocket there. Can I go anywhere? Anywhere in the country? I got a card in my pocket, so can I go anywhere I want?
No. And that's a good question. Really, really emphasize that Oregon does not recognize anybody's concealed weapon permit. There are 21 states that recognize ours at this time, unless it's changed in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
But there are 21. You can. There is a Utah license, which you told me that you have, which it increases it to, I think, double that. You can also walk over to Washington. Go up to Washington, go into a sheriff's department there, and do a fingerprint. You don't have to take any more classes. Just do your fingerprints, and then you have more states that are covered. So you have what Washington covers and what Oregon covers.
So you need to do your homework. You need to find out if you're going to be doing some traveling and you have your Oregon concealed weapon permit, you better find out where you're going and see if they recognize it. If not, then you need to take precautions when you travel into that state, correct?
Absolutely. I tell people to do that research. What states are you traveling to? You may not use that Utah. I mean, you know, some people just want that extra, you know, just in case. But you may not travel back east. You may not travel the Midwest, those states that they don't cover. You may not need it. You may pick up more of them by going over to Washington and get theirs. So let's do your research, yes.
Let's do a little scenario here. I'm in my home. It's 2:00 in the morning and I hear something. And of course, I wake up and it takes me an hour to wake the wife up because of her snoring, but that's another story here. So we find out that somebody is in the house. Okay. First of all, I guess you need to make sure that it is not a family member, that it is an actual intruder in your house, correct?
Yeah, I would. You know, Terry, what I tell people to do, if you hear something, you hear a bump in the night, as they say, you hear something in the front room, you should have a game plan in the house. I know that we did. And we did have an intruder at one time years ago. You know, our
can
game
I ask
plan
how you
was,
handled it?
You can. I don't want to go into too many details with it, but I had somebody that came through the front door, tried to come through the front door, and then went through my window. Was a felon, had been in prison most of their life, and
okay.
Tore the screen off, opened my window, which put their hand in and had a little stick, and came in the window. Well, at that time, I met that person. It could take an hour to go through the whole scenario,
sure,
but held him at gunpoint, got him on the ground until Kaiser Police arrived. to take him away. But, you know...
How scared were you?
Terry, I could feel my heart at one point through the whole thing. I felt like something was on my shirt. It was just my heart. I put my hand there at one point. So, you know, the training does kick in. I kept my finger on the slide, on the side of the frame, make sure that, you know, if there was a sudden movement, I wasn't going to accidentally shoot this person. Yeah, all the training really did kick in. You know, the next day my finger hurt so bad it was from pushing on the slide there.
Right.
It was good. My wife... We had a game plan in the house, and that was she always sleeps with her cell phone by the bed, uses an alarm clock. Okay. We heard the noise, knocking, the pounding, somebody yelling at the front door that they needed to get in. Somebody was going to kill them. Please let us in. Please let us in. Well, we both wake up. You know, I get up, go down the hallway, and this person wants in. I don't stand in front of the door. I didn't know who it was. At first thought, maybe it was one of my older kids that were married. Maybe it was one of them or one of their spouses. And it wasn't. Told him to leave. We have called 911. Didn't leave. Kept kicking. Tried to kick the door down. Went back to the bedroom. My wife was grabbing at me. Oh, my God. What do I do? What do I do with this? What should I do? And I literally had to grab her and calm her down. We said, let's go with our game plan. She got behind the bed over on the farthest side. I sat her down. Told her to call 911. Let them know that I do have a weapon. And I do have a red dot on it and a flashlight that, you know, make sure that when Kaiser comes up, they don't shoot me. And she did. It took her a few seconds, felt like a long time to get her calmed down. My son was in the bedroom. Now, in a scenario, something like I had to go down there. I didn't know. My son is right there in that bedroom. I felt like I had to get down that hallway and make sure. Now, he did what I wanted him to do. He was young then. He got under his bed. He stayed under his bed. He heard the noise. He thought the intruder at that point was in the house. He thought we were actually fighting. So, yeah, it was I get a heart rate just thinking about it. But my wife called the police. In a situation, if I didn't have my son there, I would have actually, both of us would have taken up a defensive position behind the bed, probably my wife on the ground, with my weapon pointed at the bedroom door and yelling, "Do not come in this bedroom. We have called 911 and I have a weapon. Do not come down the hallway." And I'm real big on verbal, very, very, very loud.
Right, right.
I want the neighbors. I want anybody, any witnesses to say if there was a shooting. Yeah, I heard Rick yelling, "Get down."
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to need that in my self-defense for that shooting. So if you don't have to go and investigate, don't. Because, you know, I've always taught people that person out there is going to hear you before you hear them. If I was a bad guy, I would set up in a defensive situation if I was looking for trouble. I may get behind the couch. I may get lower. I may get on my knees and wait for you to come down that hallway and take you out. So you do have a disadvantage with that. So stay in your bedroom if you can. Secure yourself. Get ready. If they hear you and they keep coming down that hallway and turn into the bedroom, then you have trouble in the first place.
Plus, you know your house more than they know your house, too. So you
absolutely
know. You should be able to see them before they see you in a dark house.
You would think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, could be. It's very important, and I teach this in the concealed weapon classes, and I see this as another thing I don't see a lot of people do. Make sure that you have a light. That needs to be part of your equipment for self-defense at night in your home. Locking your gun up in a gun safe is not a great idea when you're using it for home protection. You will not remember that combination when you wake up. You will have a struggle, and it could cost you your life.
So should you have your weapon close by at night when you go to bed?
Absolutely. Doesn't mean, and I don't put it underneath your pillow.
Right.
Not the old school.
Right.
I keep mine on the side of my bed. I have actually a holster that attaches to the side of my bed. I have a night light on the weapon with a laser. Amazon, very inexpensive. Find them under $50 that work just great.
All
or
right.
You can spend up to $200.
With our last 45 seconds or so, again, tell me about your company, where people can get in touch with you, and if they want to take these classes and go through some of this training, what's the best way to do it?
Great. Again, my name of the company is Lock It Loaded Firearms Simulator Training and Firearms Training. I do quite a bit of different type of training. I'm in conjunction with Glock. I am a certified Glock armor. So if you have any work that needs to be done on a Glock, or you just want to learn a little bit about it, get a hold of me. I am an NRA certified instructor. I do a lot of training. If you want to do live fire training, I also do that, and we can do it in a private location. The simulator training is the way to go. That's what you'll see in the next few years all over. You'll hear a lot about it. I'm just the first to have it here. It's inexpensive to train. You get a lot of rounds down range. We work on accuracy because, as you said, accuracy is very important, and then we'll work on speed.
And how do people get in in touch with you?
You can call me at 503-580-8086 or get on my website, lockitloadit.com.
Rick, we're out of time here, but I have 1,000 more questions I'd love to ask you. Would you come back and join us again down the road?
Absolutely, Terry.
All right. Thank you, Rick Wrights. And Bob and Lowry, thank you, too.
If you would like us to come to your business for a broadcast, drop us a line at terry@1220.am or catch me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Terry Saul. A big thank you to our special guest, and we will be back next week and do this all over again at 10 a.m. on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Have a great and safe week.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.